It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
And thus, President Bill Clinton lied to the American people, and in a follow-up investigation or interrogation of the president. This is the audio that came out. The person interrogating him said, Mr. Clinton, you stated that you had no sex of any kind or any form with Miss Lewinsky. And that was an utterly false statement. You'll hear him say that and then Bill Clinton's answer. Let's listen.
Of your relationship with Miss Lewinsky, the statement that there was no sex of any kind in any manner, shape or form with President Clinton was an utterly false statement. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes.
That was a stunning moment. That was the President of the United States who had lied under oath, and we all saw it. We all heard it. You know, I was on the radio in Chicago in the late 90s when all of this broke loose. When Bill Clinton ran for president the first time, we knew who he was. We knew what his story was. I don't mean all of us, but many of us did. I remember interviewing the Arkansas troopers who were trying desperately to get the word out about how they used to have to obtain women for the governor of Arkansas or hide them or protect them or arrange for him to meet with them. It was a sordid tale. And so many people were shouting from the housetops, but it was so bad that people, I don't think, really wanted to listen. And I'll also never forget that day, I believe it was in December of 1998, at least in the fall, when over the news, I was in the gym, the story of Monica Lewinsky broke and the blue dress. And I thought to myself, this is it. This is it. But how would we know that it wasn't it at all, that nobody really cared, that he had a sexual relation of sorts with a young intern in the Oval Office, because they went on to the American people elect him again. And I guess I would say, is this not a reminder of how we got here? That was in the late 90s, and the American people were making very bad decisions. At the same time, the impeachment hearing then started on Capitol Hill. Congressman Henry Hyde was the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He was a very good friend to me. I had met him through the pro-life movement. I'd interviewed him so many times. And when the impeachment hearing was over, he came into the studio to be interviewed. It was his first time. He had 3 bodyguards because his life had been threatened. And we sat and we talked and we did 2 full shows on this issue. It was Congressman Hyde who introduced me to David Shippers, who was the chief investigative counsel, who also came into the studio and did his very first interview with me as we talked about all of the incredible things that had transpired. And by the way, Dave Shippers was my guest recently. Thousands of you have listened to that interview because Dave is 87 and still just as sharp as he was 18 years ago. And the story is still just as incredible. Well, one of the pieces of information that came my way through talking to Congressman Hyde was a late-breaking story we had never heard before. And it had to do with our next guest. And so let me stop. And this is an unexpected surprise to be able to interact with her after all of these years. I've seen her on television. I certainly heard her name in that studio whispered to me by Congressman Hyde as he explained to me what her ordeal had been like. It was unspeakable, really. Her name is Juanita Broderick. And she, I believe, still lives in Arkansas. And she was a very active member of the Democratic Party all these many years ago. But she joins us this morning. Good morning, Juanita.
Well, good morning to you, Sandy.
Juanita, I know you're always identified with the terrible experience you had with Bill Clinton, and we certainly are going to talk about that. But there's a lot more to your life. Like, what is your life? Like, you have kids, and, you know, there are other parts of your life. Tell us, you know, what did you do and are you doing?
Well, I was in the nursing home business, but I sold my nursing homes back in 2008. I'm retired, very active in my church and community. And I have a wonderful son and grandson, and they mean it the world to me.
But back at now, you know, Juanita, help me with dates here. It seems to me it was back in the late 70s, when you had this situation.
Yes, 78.
Okay. So you're an administrator in a nursing home, and you're a strong supporter of Governor Bill Clinton, right?
Oh, yeah. I was working in his campaign for governor.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have the energy or the wherewithal to tell this story, but if you can muster up the internal fortitude to tell it again, please do.
Sure. I was working in his campaign. I was running my nursing home, and I was working in his campaign in the evening times. So I would go around, put up yard signs, hand out campaign literature, and about 30 days after I joined as a volunteer, he made a round in my area doing campaign tours and visited my nursing home. And we were just so excited, Sandy. We just couldn't believe he was actually coming to the nursing home to visit with us and visit with my residents. And it was an exciting time. So while
and
he
Juanita,
was there...
Juanita, hang on just a second.
Yeah.
He was governor then, right?
No, attorney general.
He was attorney general then. But he was running
right.
for governor. Okay. All right.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Sorry for the interruption.
And
okay.
Very charismatic. Yeah, we were so excited in Arkansas to have someone of what we thought his caliber was, but of course we were very mistaken. And I began to tell him about the problems we were having in nursing homes, how we were so underpaid, how we couldn't care for our residents. And he just seemed so interested in what I had to say. He told me, if you're ever in Little Rock, let's get together and talk about this. And I was so excited about having a willing ear from the person who regulated my business.
So you struck a friend. Is that the first time you had met him?
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right. And you were at this
time.
And this time you were married, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
My name was Hickey at that time, Juanita Hickey.
All right. And so so you meet him.
Well,
and
so
you...
later, yeah, I meet him. And then about a month later, my nurse and I, my director of nursing, Norma Rogers, and I went down to a nursing home meeting. And the next morning after we got there, we called his campaign headquarters, and I made arrangements to meet him in the hotel coffee shop. And that's when I told her, you go on to the meeting. When I finish in the coffee shop, I'll be right on to the meeting, the nursing home meeting. And so that was what was set up. I was to meet him in the Camelot coffee shop. When he got to the hotel, he called my room to tell me that he was there, but he also told me that it was so crowded, reporters down there, could we please talk about this in my room? Sandy, I didn't have any fear whatsoever in allowing him to come to my room. He was the attorney general of the state. I had very important information to talk to him about. So I did let him come to the room.
So he comes to your room, and then I don't know. Do you want me
well,
to? Do you want me to?
Pleasant.
I know it isn't.
Yeah, it was very pleasant for the first 2 or 3 minutes, and we had coffee. I had coffee sitting over by the table, and we began to talk. And he was telling me about a building down below that we could see that he wanted to renovate. It was an old 1800 jailhouse, and he was trying to explain that to me, that he wanted to renovate that. And as he did, he put his arm over my shoulder to point to the building. And, Sandy, that's when everything went bad. I was shocked. I had no idea of his intentions when he came to my room at all. And it was violent. It was against my will. And the most shocking incident of my life.
Yes, let me just say, if there are children listening, I should have said this already, but this is probably not good for kids to hear, but you, I know that he actually bit your lip. He actually put, he told you should put some ice on it. It was a brutal rape.
Right.
And let me just say, Juanita, that during, when I was interviewing Congressman Hyde, he was the first person that told me about your situation. And he told me during a commercial break, I will never forget this. He said, Sandy, he raped her twice. He raped her twice. And I just remember my own reaction to that. Not that that's important. But Juanita, I just, so what?
Yeah, it was so disgusting, you know, and this has just come to light within the last few months. It did come to light during the Starr investigation, but it's something that I just really didn't want to talk about. But here a few months ago, it did come to light about the second rape and how that occurred. It was all like it was one time, though. I mean, it was it was so degrading, I can't even hardly go into it. But as you said, when he got up and started to straighten himself, he was just, it was just cavalier. It was just nonchalant, like this was an everyday occurrence, while I was sitting there crying, just desperately wondering what in the world I was going to do. You know, that's when he tells me, he puts on his sunglasses, walks to the door, and turns and says, "You better get some ice on that lip."
You know,
I couldn't
Juanita,
believe the coldness.
No, and who can? I mean, I just it's unspeakable, really. But now we know, you know.
Yes, it is.
One of the things that Congressman Hyde told me also, that there was information in that vault about assaults perpetrated by him when he was, and even in Oxford. It went back years. You were not the only. You know, it's funny because many of the women we discuss, and I just talked to Dolly Kyle, it was a consensual relationship. She'd been a childhood friend. And then, of course, there was Jennifer Flowers. It was a consensual long-term sexual relationship. But yours and Paula Jones, and there's a reporter who's just now speaking out about the details of his assault in an editing room, Kathleen Willey. I mean, so many are just unbelievable. And I guess he confessed to Dolly that he had oh, this is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm talking about this on the air. And again, if you have kids, they shouldn't be listening to this. But he had 2,000 sexual encounters years ago. He told Dolly that. So that's...
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
Juanita, did you... now, when Dave Shippers was with me recently, he said immediately when he heard your story, he called Arkansas, the attorney general, and he wanted to know if they could press charges. And they said there's a 7-year... statute of limitations. One of the criticisms that you get, I know you know this because I get it on your behalf, is that you didn't file charges, so, you know, it must not have been that bad, or there must be something wrong with your story, or you would have filed charges. How do you respond to that?
They must understand, this man regulated my business. I was already struggling. They say, why didn't you report it to the police? He was the police. He was the attorney general of my state. I mean, who would have believed me? I just wanted, Sandy, I wanted it to go away. And for years, I blamed myself for letting him come to my room.
Yes. All right. You wonder what signal you gave. What did I do? What did I say? Yes. That's the way women think.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Juanita, we have to take a break. Yeah. If you could stay with me, and we'll take a break, and we'll come right back. My guest is Juanita Broderick, an unwilling victim of President Bill Clinton. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Mrs. Clinton's part in this, because she wants to be president of the United States. And Juanita had her own experience with Mrs. Clinton, and we'll discuss that next. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
and they come in early from the kitchen area. And just before they do...
They would be Bill and Hillary.
Bill and Hillary Clinton. And just before they do, a gentleman who had driven them from the airport comes straight over to me. He was a very... He was supporting Clinton, but he didn't know what had happened to me, even though he was a friend. And he said, the topic of the conversation all the way from the airport was about you. And that startled me. And I knew I had to get out of there. Well, just as he moved, here comes Hillary straight for me. And she gets to me and she starts saying, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing in Bill's campaign, and it's so nice to meet you and all of these things. So I just nodded and told my friend, let's go. And I thought somebody from behind had grabbed a hold of my arm, but it was her. She grabbed a hold of my arm and my hand, and she pulls me into her, and she says with this very angry look on her face, which had been so pleasant seconds before, and in a low voice says, do you understand everything you do? And that frightened me.
Do you think at that point she knew that Bill Clinton raped you, or do you just think that she knew something happened? What do you think she knew?
At that moment, people have asked me that, said, well, do you think she knew what happened? At that moment, and I have to go by what I felt then, and the look that she gave me, I felt like she knew.
And that she raped you.
Yes, and that she was telling me to keep quiet.
That's the voice of Juanita Broderick, our guest, in an interview, and she's describing Hillary Clinton's role in intimidation after Bill Clinton had raped her. Again, she was a nursing home administrator in Arkansas, working in the campaign for Bill Clinton to be elected governor. He was attorney general at the time. Juanita, before we get into the details of that, that reminds me, you did, I believe it was for NBC, a complete interview where you sat, I don't know what year it was. This was during the height of all this. This is 98? You did a sit-down interview.
No, 99.
99. And you told the whole story. Michael Isikoff, who at one time in his reporting life used to be an honest broker, was one of the reporters for that. And he's actually been criticizing NBC because they will not release the full tape of that interview. And part of what they left out was your story about Hillary's involvement, right?
Yes. And I've never been interviewed before. I did not know what I could say or what I couldn't say. But when I started to tell that story, and I got pretty far into it, the producer, and I don't remember who he was that traveled here with the crew and Lisa, he said, oh, no, no, he was screaming it. We cannot go there. We cannot talk about Hillary. And Lisa and I just look at him in you know, amazement. What do you mean, you know? So then he said, you'll have to start again, but you cannot discuss Hillary. So when Lisa the second time says, have you ever been threatened or harassed by anyone, something to that effect, I said, no. I had just been told I can't talk about Hillary. She was the only one who ever threatened me.
So
what do you do?
Well, you don't, of course, I don't know. I mean, you're married. We didn't even talk about
that. If they would just release that, people would know that I'm not just saying this about her now because she's running for president. I tried to say it back then, and NBC would not allow it.
Isn't that something? Even then, you know, why wouldn't they say, you know, you wonder, why wouldn't they, if they were willing to have you tell a story about Bill Clinton, why wouldn't they be willing at that time in our nation's history to have you say something about Hillary?
Well, the same goes for why did they hold it till after the impeachment? I got so upset, and Lisa would call me, and she said, we're still vetting and all this. And I said, you tell me it would be on in 2 weeks. And she said, I'm so sorry, they're still investigating. Well, they were through investigating, but they just did not want this to be aired during the impeachment.
Well, you know what?
She told me one time. She said, I have good news and I have bad news. When I was asking, why isn't this being aired? And she said, the good news is you're credible. The bad news is you're too credible.
Well, you know, now that we know more than we knew then, you see now that the left, whether it's the media or politicians or pundits, if they know something bad is coming out, they grab it and tell it in their own way, in their own time, in order to control it. And so that's exactly what they were doing with you. They got your story.
Oh, exactly.
And you think they're going to tell it, but then they hold it. I mean, some other media outlet,
right,
you know.
Right. It's the same right now with the Trump accusers. All the mainstream media says, oh, these ladies are so courageous. But Bill Clinton's accusers were disregarded.
Yes, I know. I can't even imagine the emotional impact of having been raped violently by, and violated not only physically, but also in terms of your trust. He was the attorney general, then governor, now president, and then have the first lady try to destroy you, and to have no one then not believe, people not believe you, or some people not believe you, and to disparage you. It's got to be just so defeating at times.
Yeah.
But you know,
it is.
Juanita, you have to know, Henry Hyde, for what it's worth, he told me back in 1998 that you were highly credible. He told me, this woman is extremely credible. He told me all about you. And Dave Shipper's the same thing. So I know that that's a little bit pretty late, but people need to know that about you. You were a credible witness, and those that were serious about this knew that at the time. Now, you were married at the time. Did you go back home and tell your husband? Or is that too personal for me to ask?
No, it's not too personal at all. I had to air all of this on the Dateline interview. I was not only in a very bad marriage, and we were on the verge of divorce, I was also having an affair with my second husband.
Oh, boy.
So they wanted me to go ahead and tell that, which I did. It was very painful to tell that I had bad judgment in going into an affair with another man while my first marriage was dissolving. And that's bad. That's hard to tell. I told my second husband a few days afterwards, but I never told my first husband.
So
we were not that close at that time.
So the man that you were having the affair with, how did he respond to this news?
Well, that's why I didn't want to tell him. He wanted to go straight to Little Rock and kill him.
Yeah.
You know, that,
yeah.
And
the normal reaction of a man.
It's his anger. And, of course, he didn't want me to come out on the Dateline interview, and we had quite a few problems over that, but I just told him it was time and I had to do it.
Did you ever wish in this ensuing 18 years for you, 1978's a long time ago, did you ever wish in retrospect you had filed charges just to have somebody listen and have it on record?
No, I don't. I told enough people around me what had happened. And then, of course, the lady that found me after Bill Clinton left the room was the lady that was traveling with me. And she knew the condition. Now, she had stayed quiet for 20 years and just came out about a month ago with Breitbart and told in an interview with them how she found me. And, you know, Sandy, it was even painful to read her account of what happened.
Yeah.
And how she found me. That was even painful to even remember our interaction when she did come to the room and find me.
Juanita, let's go back to Mrs. Clinton. You were living in Arkansas. You were supporting the governor's race. Now, they hadn't been married that long, had they, when he was running for governor?
Probably 3 or 4 years, I think.
All right. So do you remember, can you go back in time and tell me what your impressions were of your pending first lady? I only ask you that because when I talked to Dolly Kyle recently, she talked to me about her impressions, but she knew her firsthand. You knew her from a distance, I guess. What impressions did you have of her?
Just from a distance. Absolutely. From a distance. And there's also one other thing that Bill Clinton said to me that day that's always made me wonder. When I was getting up from that bed and crying and so desperate, he turns to me and he says, oh, don't worry, I'm sterile. I had mumps when I was a child. And I thought, well, I'm not worried about that. I've just been violated. What what on earth would make you want to say that? I thought that was just so cold.
Just sick and disconnected from reality, I think. Just acting out
completely.
Just animal instinct and just to devoid of feelings. But back to Mrs. Clinton now. Seriously, now, I really would. Do you remember what you thought of her? Did you have an impression at all before you ever met her?
Yeah, I thought that they were both good for Arkansas. They were both attorneys, and they seemed to have a good idea of where we needed to go in our government, until that moment. And when she came over to me that evening, I was afraid because I thought, oh, this poor woman, you know, she's coming over to me, and what on earth do I say?
And she has no idea. Yeah, she has no idea what her husband just did. This is what you're thinking.
She has no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when she changed and said that to me, I had very, very few good feelings about her. I mean, none whatsoever after she did that to me. I mean, that was so threatening. And when Andrea Mitchell called and asked me about that the day I sent out that tweet in January, she kept defending her and saying, well, how do you know that's what she meant? And I immediately told Andrea, you would had to have been there on the end of that conversation to understand what that woman meant to me. She meant exactly what I think she meant. She was threatening me.
Juanita, and I guess one of the things that would lend to that credibility is that you would never have seen that coming. Who would have guessed? Who of us who's had a normal life would guess that a wife would react that way? It's just, it was such a...
Before she had all her henchmen. That's before she had all this army of people to go after the women. She was just discovering, I guess, that he had this problem. And she had to do her dirty work herself that night.
Juanita, it seems as though she was threatening you. I would totally agree with that. So what happened after that? Were you just so traumatized that you went silent? Or did you have any more encounters with the Clinton machine in terms of keeping you quiet?
No, I only had one encounter with Bill Clinton, and that was in 1991. I was down with two of my nurses at a nursing home meeting, and someone comes to the door. I mean, I had no connection with him whatsoever since that time. I just wanted to forget it. But someone comes to the door, a gentleman, and says, Juanita Broderick is wanted in the hallway. So I go out there, and my nurses follow me because we think it's an emergency from home. And when I do, the man points down around the corner. I walk down there, and just as I go around the corner into the stairwell area, there stands Bill Clinton. He comes right over to me, and I sort of back up, and he starts this profuse apology. And he keeps saying, I'm so sorry for what I did. I'm a changed man. I'm a family man, and all of this garbage. And he kept saying this over and over. And I just looked at him, and I told him to go to hell, and I walked off. By the time I got back to the nurses, which they saw him too, I was just crying. I just couldn't believe that I had been confronted by him. And, you know, for the longest time, for two or three days after that, we all talked about it, and we said, you know, is he really sorry for what he did to me? And then just a couple of days, he announced he was running for president. And I thought, my God. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
How he knew
I was there, I'll never know.
That's a pretty significant part of your story right there. That's very significant.
Yeah.
So, Juanita, you're a nurse. And, I recently asked Dolly this same question, Dolly Kyle. You know, there are all these stories coming out and allegations against Donald Trump. And there are people that would say that it's no different, that he is just like Bill Clinton. Now, I don't know how you'd know he was or was not. But I would be interested to know, as a victim of a rape, as a woman who's sensitive to men mistreating women, how you would interpret that. Do you see any distinction at all?
Yeah, I think that Donald Trump has said a lot of bad things. I think that he's exhibited, poor judgment when it comes to women and what he says about them. But I think that's so different than actions. I mean, all of us women that have come forward, we're talking about specific actions that Bill Clinton did to us. And whether I believe these women or not, you know, I really don't know at this time. You know, I trust Donald Trump. He talked to us when we went to the debate. And I really trust this man. And I believe what he told us. And he was so sympathetic to what we were going through. And I can't tell you what the future will bring, if any of this has ever proven true about Mr. Trump. But in my heart, I doubt it will be.
Well, we're talking to Juanita Broderick, and we'll be back in just a second. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Kathleen Willey was a White House volunteer who alleges that President Clinton sexually assaulted her. Willie says 2 days before she was set to testify against President Clinton in the Paula Jones sexual harassment case, a stranger confronted her.
And he said, "Hey, Kathleen, did you ever find your cat?" And he said, "You're just not getting the message, are you?"
The Clinton attack machine immediately targeted Willie. Her car was vandalized, her house broken into, and a cat's skull was left on her porch.
And I don't understand how any woman in this country could vote for a woman who does that to other people. They're power hungry. They stop at nothing.
That was the voice of Kathleen Willey, and of that's from Jeremiah Films. And Kathleen, like Juanita Broderick, our guest right now, was a Democratic operative. She was volunteering in the White House at the time, and her husband, they were in terrible financial trouble. She went into President Clinton to ask for some help, and he assaulted her in the office. And Dave Shippers, who was our guest recently, the chief investigative counsel for the House Impeachment Committee, told us that Kathleen then came home one day to find her cat dead on her doorstep, slaughtered. And then another day she was in the yard and a man jogged by and came and asked her where her children were and called them by name. And he said, "You're Kathleen Willey, right?" And she said, "Yes." And then on another, I don't know if it was another day or later that day, he jogged by again and he said, "You're not going to testify, are you?" And she said, "Well, of course I am." And he said, "You don't get it, do you? You just don't get it." And Dave Shippers, again, the chief investigative counsel, said it was Hillary Clinton who hired the man to intimidate Kathleen Willey. And it's with that in mind because Mrs. Clinton wants to be president now. And it's important that we know who she is. As bad as Bill Clinton's actions are, and they are bad, and it's also something to consider, do we want him back in the White House? Really? But we also have to consider his wife and what she would do as president, and that's why we're talking about what they did when they were in power in the past. My guest again is Juanita Broderick. Juanita, you were talking about listening to Dave Shippers recently, and how you felt about listening to him. Isn't he a character?
Oh, he's wonderful. You know, I've only met one of the people in his investigative team, and that was Diana Wozniacki. When she came down here and they were going to do the deposition, she was sitting in the room, and I kept looking at her. I was tearing up and getting very anxious during the pre-deposition. And so we didn't finish that day. And she slipped me her phone number and the hotel she was staying at. And I wanted to talk to her so bad, but I still wasn't ready to come out. I went to her hotel room, and we talked for hours, and I told her the whole story. And that's when she said, "You've got to tell this story. You've got to go ahead and come clean." And my son had already told me. He's an attorney here in Arkansas, in my hometown. And he said, "Mom, this is federal. You can't lie anymore. You've got to go ahead and tell the truth." So that's when I did.
You know, I
It was a lot because of Diane Wozniacki.
You know, she was a police counselor, wasn't she? She was like a rape counselor for the police.
Yes,
I think I actually interviewed her as well, because I remember that name so well.
Yeah.
She understood and identified you. Her part in this,
right.
I know from Dave, she could tell from her interaction with you that you were telling the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. She did. And we've been friends ever since.
How
She's
interesting.
Just a lovely woman.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me that you and Dolly, Kyle, and I don't know who else, have actually become acquainted during the... Now, Dolly, of course, was a consensual partner with Bill Clinton, a childhood friend of his. How has that been for you to get acquainted with these other women who were involved with Bill Clinton in one sordid way or another? What's that journey been like?
Oh, it's been, that's been very good and very supportive. Before I came out, I talked with Lisa Myers for about a year before I actually consented to do the interview. During this time, Kathleen Willey would call me. We had hours on the phone talking while she was trying to say, you need to go ahead and come out. You need to tell this. And so we began a friendship way back when, I mean, almost 20 years ago. As far as Dolly, I've just met her within the last year, and we have such good conversations and a real camaraderie between us. She's just a delightful, delightful person. I've just met Paula Jones when we went to do the Breitbart interview, and she's a lovely young lady. And I've just recently met the lady who just came out, Millwee. I just met her on the phone the other day.
Is she the news anchor that was telling her story?
Yes.
She was
a reporter in Arkansas.
Yes.
And she was only 19.
Yes, and he would corner her in her editing room and do just horrible things we can't talk about on radio. But it was very traumatic for her. Yeah. It's just amazing. And women... this can destroy your life. One day, one 30-minute encounter with a brutal man like that can ruin your life. It really can. And so,
And look at all the horrible things they said back then about us. You know, the bimbos, and they talked about Paula Jones' appearance and degraded her, saying you could drag a dollar through a trailer park and see what you come up with. That was horrible.
Yes, and they tried to do the same thing to Monica Lewinsky, but the blue dress stopped that. Remember, they were going to paint her as being mentally ill, as I recall, or having some sort of a mental problem.
God. Yeah, thank God for Linda Tripp that she told her, you saved that dress.
And then they destroyed Linda Tripp.
Right.
You remember that? I mean, they did. They came after Linda Tripp about her looks, her appearance, everything. They came at her with, it's amazing, you know. Juanita, the irony is, of course, that Mrs. Clinton claims repeatedly that she's the champion of women. She talks about women's issues, you know, at every rally. She talks about women's rights, children's rights, and what a champion she's been. And the irony of it is that she has been just the opposite.
Oh, that's exactly right. She's not an advocate for all women. She's only an advocate for one woman, and that's herself. She's just a fake feminist, as Kathleen calls her. That is so true.
Juanita, you've mentioned God a couple of times in this conversation. I'm just curious to know did God have any part in your healing in this? Because it sounds like you have come a very long way.
Oh, yes, very definitely. My church has always been a huge part of my life, Sandy. All of my friends in my church. It's just... it's the biggest part. I never did have counseling, but what I received from my friends and my family and my church really helped.
When you went to that second debate and sat on the, not the front row, but the balcony, like in the front row, describe to us what led up to that and how that all took place. You guys did a sort of a surprise press conference with Donald Trump. Just tell us about that a little bit, about how that all came about and what that was like.
Right. I was on a plane taxiing down the runway going home from New York from the Breitbart interview. And all of a sudden, I get a call from Trump's campaign, and they say, we would like for you to be our guest tomorrow night. And I said, I'm on a plane to Arkansas. So I told them when I got home that I would let them know. And I talked with the other ladies, and we said, you know, we kept thinking, are we going to be a sideshow? Are we going to be used in this for some reason? And, you know, then we thought, we don't care. We've been told to go back into the woodwork for decades and to shut up. This was our opportunity to come out and tell our story. And so we did.
So it was you and Kathleen Willey and Paula Jones, and then it was the young girl who was raped in Arkansas. I think she was 12 years old, and Hillary Clinton was the attorney that defended her rapist and laughed about it. It's heard laughing on a tape about how they tampered with the evidence and how something happened that she got him off, and she thought that was very funny. And she tried to paint the young girl as some sort of a tramp who liked older men.
Yes, and it's just ruined that poor lady's life. You know, it was very, she was so warm and greeting to us, and we were just so happy to get to meet her at the debate.
So that's kind of an untold story that people don't know as well as they know yours. So it was you and Kathleen and Paula Jones, and then the girl whose name I can't recall that we just described
Kathy Sheldon.
Kathy Sheldon. All right. So the press conference. Yeah. Did you get a lot? The thing of it was, the way they set that up, as I understand, was that they invited the press to come. Donald Trump was supposed to make some big statement, and they all showed up, and he sort of surprised them with your presence. I don't know how you guys kept that quiet.
Oh, it was. And it was a surprise to us, too. But we were ready for most anything, any onslaught that could come. I think we were prepared for it. They came in the door of this conference room expecting to see Mr. Trump. And when they come in, we're all sitting at on table, and the looks on their faces was priceless. You know, they couldn't believe we were there.
I would love to have seen that. I'm surprised they didn't pack up and leave.
I think they wanted to leave, but they came in the door. The door was shut, and he made a little announcement, and then he said, these ladies have something to say to you. And one by one, we did. And we weren't prepared. You know, we didn't know that this was going to happen, so it was very off the cuff.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys, from my understanding, you did a great job. And then now describe for us the debate night starts, and what was that all about? They said that there was some confusion. The committee did not want you guys to come out. What was that all about? Tell us what that was like as it was happening.
Well, the story that I heard was that we were supposed to be sitting in the box with the Clinton, with Chelsea and Bill Clinton. But that never materialized. We were never asked to do that. And if we had been, we would have refused. There's no way that I would have walked in there into that section with Bill Clinton. It was difficult enough just to be in that huge room with him.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And that actually would have made kind of light of it. It would have sort of discredited you guys to make light of it, and you weren't.
You were just
as serious as you could be.
I think that Rudy Giuliani used it for some reason. I have no idea why. But I do not, we would never have done that. Just like I said, it was so difficult to be able to look through to the podium, be there on the front row of that stadium seat thing, and be able to see him. You know, he would have had to have completely turned around in his chair to have viewed us.
Well, I tell you
what, happy with that
his face, Bill Clinton's face, was priceless. He was thrown for a major loop. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, we were shuffled around. Yeah, we were shuffled around all day and hidden so no reporter could see us, and no one would know until we walked in that we were there.
That was something else. And again, like I said, Bill Clinton's face was just, he could not hide it. Now, Chelsea did. She just smiled as though, you know, I don't know how that girl could bear the knowledge that she has. And hearing all the things that she's hearing about her father, and her mother too, it's just, there's got to be some damage to her personality as a result of this too. But she sat there smiling as though nothing was happening.
Did you see at the end when they were showing everyone leaving, that they got into separate cars. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton didn't share the same car.
No, I didn't. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well,
I'm sure she didn't want to be anywhere near it.
Juanita, what's your life like now? Are you still working as a hospital administrator or nursing home?
Oh, no. I sold my nursing homes back in 2008. I'm retired. In fact, when I came in to talk to you, I was mowing grass.
Well, you know what? Isn't that, that's actually quite therapeutic, isn't mowing grass? Well, listen, it kind of brings, it reminds us of God, of nature, of the order of things, and of just something much further beyond the horrible things that men can do to each other. So that's probably a good thing for you to do. Juanita, it's been a pleasure.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for joining me, Juanita
thanks,
Broderick.
Sandy.
All right. And I'll be back. You know I will. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.